CinemaJaw is brought to you this week by SpankYourBoss.com. It's not what it sounds like. Are you unemployed? Need extra cash? You can now get the most reliable and up-to-date information on all types of home-based income opportunities, including data entry work online, mailing brochures, home assembly jobs, and much more. To receive an amazing free ebook which reveals all of these work-at-home opportunities, visit www.spankyourboss.com today. Leave your contact info and the ebook will be delivered to your email address immediately. This free offer is ending soon, so visit spankyourboss.com right now before it's too late.
And by Ringer. Ringer is a science fiction film project being developed independently by ILM artist and award-winning director Greg Yonkaitis and ex-Pixar screenwriter and filmmaker Stefan Bugai. It's a sci-fi noir about a shape-shifting alien cop sent to Earth to solve a series of murders, who uncovers a secret that will change the fate of both species. Find out more at facebook.com/ringerfilm or contact the filmmakers at ringer@unpopcult.com. You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye, the movie guy, and this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we concentrate on the ending of the jaw, if you will, the ending of film series, as we cover our top three favorite movie finales when it comes to movie franchises.
Yeah, so these are the ultimate film, the not the penultimate, that is the second to last. These are the ones that either finished with a bang or, you know, not so much.
We are doing this in honor of Mockingjay, which is part one. It's Mockingjay part one of the Hunger Games series finale. It's going to be a two-parter, and that's how it's going
to
wrap up.
This has become a trend in Hollywood. I wanted to get your opinion real quick.
Well, let's save it, actually, for Eye for an Eye, because we are going Eye for an Eye on Mockingjay this week.
Okay, and then we can talk about breaking finales into two films?
Yeah, I'm not a fan, and we'll get into that.
Unless they do it for Star Wars, which is, that's okay.
Oh, yeah, by all means.
Yeah, more Star Wars movies, always okay.
Yeah, so we'll see how we think Hunger Games, the finale, is going to stack up against some of the great ones. And believe it or not, when I was doing my research, it is a lot easier to screw up a series finale than it is to go out on a high note.
Sure, just ask Indiana Jones.
And just ask The Matrix. There's tons of them that you can look at and think, wow, the third part really dropped the ball.
Just ask Topher Grace in Spider-Man 3.
There you go. I would even argue Back to the Future 3. I'm not saying it was a total... Ooh. I'm not saying it was a total
you
drop
just stole
of the ball.
My number one.
But it was not up to the caliber of the first two.
Well... It's debatable, man. I actually really like that one.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. But we are going to hit our top three favorite series finales. Also, in addition to that, Matt, we do go, like I say, eye for an eye on Mockingjay, the new Hunger Games movie with Jennifer Lawrence. And since that's a blockbuster, I also wanted to call to attention a little bit smaller of a film, Eye for an Eye, also a second one, The Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Double eye for eyes?
Yeah, two of them this week.
Jeez.
Speaking of new movies, me... You and Elias all got out and caught Interstellar along with half the country. The other half of the country went and saw Big Hero 6.
And I saw them both.
And so did I. So we got reviews, Jawheads, for you for Interstellar. We'll go pretty deep into that. And also Big Hero 6. Let people know if they should go out there and spend that money come Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We might even let Elias out of the jaw box.
I think we should. Hear his thoughts on Interstellar as well.
Oh man, you know what? I might even have a new turkey for Elias.
Oh, how nice.
I know. What's getting to be that time of year?
It is. We also, in honor of Mockingjay with Jennifer Lawrence, will be playing, Matt, yourself versus Elias in famous Jennifer movie trivia. So think of actresses that have the first name Jennifer.
What about Jen or Jenny?
Could work. Okay. Could work. You know how I like to slip up the questions
sure.
that way?
Yeah.
Keep everybody on their toes. There was big news also this week, Matt. I don't know if you heard. I'm sure you did. Star Wars Episode 7 has a title.
What's that?
All right.
What is that?
It has a new title, The Force Awakens.
What's The Force?
Whoa. It's midichlorians.
No, that sounds great. Dude, The Force Awakens? I saw all the memes come out. Like the first scene of The Force Awakens has been leaked, and there's a picture of Darth Vader in bed. You know, some clever stuff. And, oh, they used one of our tweets in a HuffPo article.
They did.
We should put a link to that in this show.
Yeah. There was a lot of talk on Twitter about the title, obviously.
What a great title, huh?
I like The Force Awakens.
What would you say is the next best title in the series of all the Star Wars films?
I mean, of the ones that are out there, I'm sure we're both going to agree here.
Yeah, probably.
I would actually say it's Revenge of the Sith.
What the hell is wrong with you, man?
No, it's by far the best title that an episode has so far is Revenge of the Sith.
Empire Strikes Back.
Oh. No, Matt, you're brainwashed because, you know, the thing is, as a title, we think of it. But what the heck does that actually mean? The Empire Strikes Back. Ooh.
Wait. Let's get to it in a
Cinema War. Oh, boy. Elias is going to have his hands full judging that one.
Yes. Not really, because I'm going to win.
Slam dunk. I doubt that.
Slam dunk.
This is Revenge of Ryan.
We'll see.
All right.
Matt Kay strikes back.
So it is a jam-packed jaw, as always, Matt. So without further ado, we get to our first segment, Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore, and Eye for an Eye is sponsored by
The Content Champion Podcast.
Tell me more.
The Content Champion Podcast with Laz James. In each show, Laz interviews the web's most successful content marketing experts so you can learn proven strategies to grow your online brand. Vibrant, informative, and always essential listening, Laz showcases step-by-step techniques that you can start using right now to become a content champion in your own business. Check them out at contentchampion.com or find them on iTunes. And we thank Laz for his support of CinemaJaw.
Eye for an Eye this week met Mockingjay Part 1. After Katniss Everdeen shattered the games forever, Katniss must fight against all odds and save a nation moved by her courage. This is part one of a two-part finale. The film stars Jennifer Lawrence, Woody Harrelson, Donald Sutherland, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. It is directed by Francis Lawrence, no relation, who directed Catching Fire. He also is responsible for I Am Legend, Matt, Interested or Ignore on Mockingjay Part 1.
I must say that the second film was a huge step up from the first film. And it's also, this is one of the posthumous releases from Philip Seymour Hoffman. So, yeah, no, I'm interested.
I wish I could join you there, and I do agree you had a great point there that Catching Fire was so much better than Hunger Games. It was a step up. I myself have read all three books. I think you stopped after the first.
I did.
Yeah. And I hated the third book.
It really goes
off the rails.
Yeah.
And I thought it really weakened the entire series because I was very excited, especially after the second book. Wow, this thing's going to wrap up great. And I thought the third book was the worst by far of the series. And don't even get me started on how they broke this up into two parts. It's absolutely ridiculous. It does not need to be broken into two parts. I'm giving Mockingjay an ignore.
It brings up a larger question, which we mentioned in the top of the show here. They're doing this a lot now in Hollywood, breaking up the finale into two parts.
Yeah, I think we can probably say this started with Harry Potter, and it was probably warranted with the Harry Potter series because it was a large book.
Yeah.
You know, they had a lot of ground to cover.
It was like 800 pages or something ridiculous.
And then all of a sudden Twilight came out and did sort of the same thing. I've never read the Twilight books. I've never even looked to see how long of books those are.
Sure.
So I don't know if that warranted.
It says Team Edward on your underwear.
But I did my research here, and because the Jawheads love when we do our research here, I have the exact amount of pages in all three of the Hunger Game books.
Oh,
and
wow.
You tell me if Mockingjay is worthy of a two-part series.
Let's hear it.
All right. First book, The Hunger Games, clocked in at 374 pages. Decent.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
That's a novel.
Yeah. All right. And then we get into Catching Fire, the second book of the series, 391.
It's longer.
Yeah, a little bit longer. Still done in
that's,
one movie.
That's
very
a big
easy.
Book. Yeah.
The last book that we're talking about here, Mockingjay, 390 pages, just short of Catching Fire. So it's not like anything longer than any of the other two. It clearly does not warrant to be split into two. This is just an absolute, absolute cash cow. It really bothers me.
Yeah, I agree. And Peter Jackson, so The Hobbit was a short story compared to the Lord of the Rings books. And he got those done in one film apiece. But then The Hobbit, which was like the preamble compared to those books, suddenly is three movies. And I think it really suffered because of it.
I agree. They're stretching it out. Everybody wants to make a buck, so they're pressured by the studio probably to do this.
Yeah, it worked for those Harry Potter guys.
And the product suffers, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've went back and I've watched The Hunger Games a second time. The series as a whole is not all that good. I mean, right now it's sort of the series of the moment and everybody's sort of into it. But once the dust settles, we'll look back at this as just a sort of a joke of a series.
No, I will say this, though. We all poo-pooed Harry Potter, and I think you're right. That's probably the only one that has worked as a two-part finale. This trend must end.
I agree.
But it's not gonna.
It sure won't. I know that. One interested, one ignore for Mockingjay Part 1. Matt, there's another movie coming out that I wanted to call attention to. A little bit smaller. It's entitled The Imitation Game. This one stars Benedict Cumberbatch, stars as Alan Turing, the genius British mathematician and computer scientist.
Oh, I know who Turing is.
Who led the charge to crack the German Enigma code that helped the Allies win World War II. Turing went on to assist with the development of computers at the University of Manchester after the war, but he was prosecuted by the UK government in 1952 for homosexual acts, which the country deemed illegal. The film stars, as I mentioned, Benedict Cumberbatch and Keira Knightley. Matt, interested or ignore on The Imitation Game?
So is this like they have to go up on stage and do their best in imitation of like Christopher Walken or else they die one by one?
Boo.
No, I'm a big Turing fan. Yeah, that's interesting. And Cumberbatch, too.
Yeah, I agree. And I love Keira Knightley also. I think she's a really, really fine actress.
You love Keira Knightley?
I do.
I love her weekly.
Wow, he's on a roll, folks. Yes, gotta love that.
Yeah, try the veal.
I've seen the preview for this one. I'm interested in learning more about him, and it's just a fascinating true story. You know, definitely interested.
One of Turing's, and we don't have to spend much time on this. One of Turing's lasting legacies is the famous Turing test, which is the test that will determine whether or not a computer is sufficiently sentient, if artificial intelligence is there or not. Are you familiar with this Turing
I am
test?
Not, no.
They have to fool you into believing they're human over just a text conversation. So one will be a human and the other will be a computer. And if you cannot identify which is a computer, it's passed the Turing test.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, didn't know that.
Famous.
Interesting. But yeah, I mean, the whole idea that he helped, you know, the Allies break the code against, you know, Germany.
That's cool.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's a pretty fascinating story that he goes on to be in the computers and so forth. So
yeah, it is.
Totally. Two interested for The Imitation Game. That one opens up in 2 weeks here in Chicago and other large markets, probably New York and LA, and then slowly around the country. So keep your eyes open for that one, Jawheads. Speaking of new movies, me, Matt, and Elias all got out and caught Interstellar.
We used to look up in the sky and wonder at our place in the stars. Now we just look down and worry about our place in the dirt.
Go for main engine start, T-minus 10.
We must confront the reality that nothing in our solar system can help us.
9.
I've got kids, Professor.
How long
would I be gone?
8.
I'm asking you to trust me.
7.
Murph. You have to talk to me, Murph.
6.
I need to fix this before I go.
You have no idea when you're coming back.
5. Main engine start.
Couldn't you have told her you were going to save the world?
No.
4.
When you become a parent.
3.
One thing becomes really clear.
2.
And that is that you want to make sure your children feel safe.
1.
Coming back.
When?
I love you forever.
Matt, one of the biggest obstacles large blockbuster films have to overcome these days is the high expectations fans have going in. I will admit, I was more excited to see Interstellar than any other film this year. Did it live up to those lofty expectations? Probably not. But that does not mean it was not a great film. Now, here in a distant future, Earth has stopped producing crops due to changes in weather and major dust storms that are blanketing the farmlands. The only chance for mankind's survival is to explore new worlds made possible by the discovery of a black hole in our solar system. Matthew McConaughey plays Cooper, a former NASA pilot turned farmer that stumbles back to NASA by way of a quote-unquote supernatural occurrence. The film very quickly catches us up on why NASA now wants to send McConaughey on the long journey. This would mean leaving his family, a teenage son Tom, and a 10-year-old daughter Murph behind on Earth. Coop does decide to go, thrusting the final two-thirds of the movie on one of the greatest space explorations in movie history. There are moments of spectacular awe in Interstellar. Traveling through a black hole, landing on a planet with a humongous wave of water where an hour of time equals 7 years on Earth. There are some very big ideas introduced in the movie, but these are ideas that scientists and theorists have been working on for years, such as time being a fourth dimension, and that all of time has already existed. I think the more familiar you are with these topics, the more you'll appreciate Interstellar. That said, all the explaining the characters have to do is the weak point of the film. The emotional connection between Coop and his daughter Murph is the heart of the story, and I love that. I think the ending idea of the film was difficult to capture, but no one did an admirable job. I also have to mention the score by Hans Zimmer, extremely powerful at times, yet overused in other spots. For ambition alone, this movie is a marvel. If you have the chance to see it on the IMAX, do. It looked gorgeous. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 3.25 Jaws.
I loved it.
Nice.
I seriously liked the movie. It is not without its flaws, but what movie isn't? I'm probably going to catch some flack right on this show for this, but I thought that the pacing of the movie was absolutely perfect. A lot of people were saying it's a snooze fest, it's boring. I thought it was pretty rapid fire, and it was just so visually stunning, amazingly visually stunning. There are some gaping plot holes. I mean, you could drive a forklift into some of these plot holes. The biggest one, and I don't want to spoil anything, I will just say that there is kind of a time loop, if you will, at one point in the movie where some things happen. And I'm not sure why the character would do the things he thought he was supposed to do and not try to do something different. Okay, that kind of bothered me. I loved the science accuracy of it and the science fiction of it, because they do, as you mentioned, go through the event horizon at one point.
Right.
And I also want to correct you. They don't discover a black hole in our galaxy or solar system. They discover a wormhole.
A wormhole, sure.
And I thought that the explanation of the Tesseract and traveling by wormhole was amazing.
Oh, for sure. I especially when they first go through the wormhole, it was spectacular. And you probably saw this at the new 400, I would imagine.
I did.
Okay. And I love the new 400, obviously, sponsor of the show. But I had saw it on the IMAX. The images were just spectacular.
It
you know,
had to
it was
be
like,
amazing.
I know my mouth was just like open looking at it. I'm like, oh my God, this looks so awesome. It was spectacular.
What this film accomplished is what Gravity could have accomplished. It took all those visuals from Gravity and married them to a story that we really cared about. One of the weak points that I've noticed some people complaining about, I just did not like that robot. I like the character of the robot. And when he does the cartwheel thing when they're on the planet with the giant waves,
right.
That was kind of cool to see him in action, like super fast mode. Because I was kind of wondering how he was going to rescue somebody. Because every other time he's like walking so slow.
Yeah.
But like, damn, could they get a more awkward looking robot? And the speech, like, again, I loved his character, I liked his voice, but, like, you couldn't tell that it was the robot speaking. There was nothing flashing, there was no inflection in the voice that made it sound artificial, and I was confused at times, like, who just said that?
Uh-huh.
But these are minor complaints for what is overall a masterpiece. I think it's a four-jaw movie all
nice.
The way, all the way. Loved it. I want to see it again.
Before we crack that jaw box open and get Elias's opinion too, what I loved, and I've done very little research, but I'm a big space nut, and I'll dig my claws into it a lot.
Sure.
And once they get into when they're talking about space time, and they're talking about how time as a
fourth
dimension, and that scientists and the smartest people on Earth are trying to explain it to us, and a lot of our brains, we think of time as being so linear, right? That we're going by seconds and hours, but that's all artificial. We've made all that up. And that time all exists in once in the galaxy, and it just matters where you're at in the galaxy for that event to have taken place. But it all yeah. already has taken place. My mind can't get into that. You know, like I always stop at that point. I'm like, I'm confused. My point being, I like that Nolan didn't dumb down the script. And I mean, he tried to explain it as best as he could, hope the audience got it, but it was really made for sort of sci-fi geeks, you know?
Yeah.
And I appreciated that.
I was going to put out a meme today on the internet with a picture of McConaughey from this movie that says, the best thing about relativity is I keep getting older, or they keep getting older, but I just stay the same age.
Yeah.
I'm putting that out.
We got some other...
you heard it here first,
we
folks.
Got other tidbit, but let's get a third opinion. Let's crack open that jaw box early. Elias, you also caught Interstellar. Give us your thoughts.
What's going on here? Thank you for letting me out early. Engineer Elias here. Guys, I'm not going to poop on it as much as I might have said.
No, poop on it. Go ahead.
Pre-roll. Like, all of the concepts, you guys are reminding me of all the awesome concepts. Like, I am completely on board with the time and the... Yeah, the wormhole and all that stuff. Like, that really... Like, I love seeing that in a blockbuster film.
Right.
Especially, yeah, people, you know, oh, Nolan, the Batman guy, they're going to show up and just
to the
be
lowest
like,
common
exactly.
denominator. Right.
It was, yeah. So that was fantastic. But I just feel like some of the storytelling things, setups, like the robot who, towards the end, explains a lot, was just
Well, he is
there.
A robot.
Yeah, but it was just, it's a cheap storytelling tool. Just like at the beginning, how it starts off with random documentary clips. So lame. So out of nowhere because they don't, out of nowhere.
Yeah, the opening sequence was a little weak.
I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that because I was wondering that whole time. I think you're wondering if Earth survived. And it almost left it more ambiguous because I wasn't positive. I was like, when are these people talking? This is weird, you know?
That's true. But
and there
just,
is actually a little twist on where they were talking from, which I appreciated.
That's true, but the number one rules of filmmaking is show, don't tell, which is they were absolutely telling with those documentary clips, which is just a little frustrating. The majority of the farm scene was just ridiculous. I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. It has to do with the farm scene. Topher Grace.
Oh, no, I'm going to bring him up. Out. Yeah, okay. No, yeah, definitely. Not a spoiler.
His character was just so cheesy and so, like,
One of the weakest points in the movie for me. This is definitely why I thought it was not a...
What's wrong with Topher Grace?
Oh, well, A was actually distracting to me because he didn't have a big enough role. So it was like, is it Topher Grace?
Yeah,
what's
all of a sudden he's
movie?
Like the love interest or something.
Yeah, and he's the love interest. And I never bought him as he was going to be the doctor that was... He just examines the one kid really quick and he's like, they got to get out of here right now.
Exactly.
I was like, what?
And then out of nowhere, the other guy, I don't know if this is a spoiler, you know... starts a fight with him, and all of a sudden, like...
That's Casey Affleck.
Yeah,
okay. I didn't like either one of them.
So it's just like this immediate... just to match the intensity that was going on in space. It was just so cheesy to me. It just didn't really match up when
What would you prefer? Would you prefer everybody's just sitting around playing Parcheesi? I wonder what Dad's doing up in space. Cut back to space. Nothing much, you know? They're just floating.
I think you could have just stayed in space. All that wave concept, those planets were awesome, you know? I mean, it was just too cheesy, and like the beginning with the drone, right at the beginning, like they're driving through the cornfields. That's like a trailer moment. It looks awesome, and it's really like gorgeous. But then it's just like a boring drone story side thing.
But that's foreshadowing, Elias. Why the drone was crashing? Gravity, you know, like all his machines went haywire. It was just to point him to that thing he needed to discover, the MacGuffin.
Yeah. All right. Well, then they could have done something cooler than a drone, because that was just...
What do you want?
I don't know.
What do you want? Tell me what's cooler than
next
a drone.
Next week, tune in to Cinema Jaw. I will come up with an answer, because Christopher Nolan had years to write that script.
I thought the drone
brother.
Was super cool. All right, it was kind of eerie.
Okay, besides Topher Grace and Casey Affleck, who I thought both didn't really fit their role,
okay.
You also have Anne Hathaway as the other astronaut
that McConaughey
goes away with. I did not care for her at all in this role, and I've actually turned and started really liking Anne Hathaway. I'm like, I really like her.
No.
And then I thought she was miscast here.
She sucks.
And I don't think she was necessarily like on the same level or was reading the script the same way maybe McConaughey was, because they just didn't seem on the same exact level. And then she has this huge emotional moment where she's talking about love, and love is the constant in the galaxy. And at that point, that's supposed to really like maybe get some people to really hit the heartstrings, and it didn't for me at all.
That's a great point.
It just went right over my head. I'm like, oh, this is not good. It just didn't connect with me.
It sucked so bad. I'm really glad you brought up that scene, because it was just bad acting. And at one point, like right at the end of the scene, like her eyes are welling up, and then she almost starts to smile. It almost seemed like there was a moment they forgot to edit out where she she got self-congratulatory over her big moment acting scene. And I thought it sucked. I'm over Anne Hathaway. She ruined Batman, and she almost ruined Interstellar.
There you go.
Yeah, that, well, I definitely thought that the love part of it was also just wedged in there the way it was brought up. But you guys probably, that makes sense now, knowing that, that yeah, she probably was the reason why it was just felt off of why, you know, because everything, all the science stuff was great. And then all of a sudden, this was just kind of abrupt. Oh, yeah, love is a part of this equation. I like the idea of it, but it would, just
too.
Wasn't pulled off.
I agree. I like the idea. Yeah. The execution wasn't there. And then there was this surprise actor who pops up that we don't want to give away because it was a surprise to me. Surprise to you, Elias?
Yes.
Surprise to you, Matt?
He's always a surprise.
I was stunned. I was like, I couldn't believe in this modern day, and I cover movies. We are in the movie business here doing Cinema Jaw. I'm up to date on all this stuff. Totally was like, oh, my God, this guy's in this movie? I floored. I'm never shocked by that stuff, but I was on this one, and I appreciated that. A couple other things I like. Jessica Chastain is the older Murph.
Yeah.
Pretty strong performance. Strong. And really needed to be at the end. Also liked, like I had mentioned, that they don't dumb down the theories for the mass audiences. And the other one was the blast-off sequence of McConaughey driving away from his house, and there is the countdown going down also while he's in the truck. I thought that was just a marvelous scene.
Very well done.
Yeah. And also, how about this? They made space exploration exciting again, and it seems like a movie hasn't done that in a long time. Gravity, if anything, did it the opposite. It made everybody afraid of space because all the things that could go wrong. I think this was... again, the wonderment of being an explorer and a human, and we are supposed to get off this planet at some point. You know, the human race has got to go. So,
well, I mean, some amazing throwbacks to like 2001 Space Odyssey with the robot, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, I'm going to blast you out the airlock later." Right. I mean, that was cool that they made the robot the comedic relief.
Yeah, it was great.
That was an interesting twist on the sci-fi trope. I've never really seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe a little bit Hitchhikers, but not so much.
And then one other point was that I actually felt like I traveled somewhere in this movie, like I went on an adventure. And we're seeing all these amazing special effects these days, but I didn't have that feeling, it seems, for years that I walked out of the theater and I thought, wow, I just traveled through a wormhole. You know, like I felt like I was there on these planets with them. So I think they did a marvelous job there as well.
I agree. It really took you out of reality. It was great escapism. Fantastic. Yeah, what a journey.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3.5 Jaws. 3.5 Jaws, 4 Jaws for Matt. Elias?
I'll give it 3 Jaws because of the concepts and everything.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, we threw this question out onto Twitter to the Jawheads, too. Let's include the Jawheads here because everybody went out and saw this movie.
Yeah, and they did. And the thing I want to say is sometimes a movie comes out and there are such high expectations, there's almost like a backlash because it's cool to lash out against a film like this.
Yeah, and you know, I started my review off with that. Don't you agree? Sometimes the movie's worst enemy is our expectations for it. We've seen previews for this. A year ago, I was pumped. Oh, my God, I saw it was going to be McConaughey, Nolan. It had to do with space and interstellar space on top of that. Like, oh, this is going to be unbelievable. And from there, I'm just overhyped when I go see the movie. So I'm actually going to go see it a second time in the theater, and I'm going to see it at the IMAX again.
I can't wait. So, all right, so let's jump in here. FlixFinder, who is at FlixFinder on Twitter, said, "One evening, Inception met Gravity at a bar, resulting in a one-night stand. 9 months later, they had Interstellar."
Not bad.
Pretty close. I was saying Gravity and Prometheus because of the alien worlds and stuff.
And one I want to mention outside of... Gravity, that I think is even a better match as far as like traveling through like a wormhole, is Contact with Jodie Foster, where they really basically the aliens send a machine that you can create a wormhole here on Earth to travel and meet the other aliens. So
I agree. Good point. William Blake, who is at Willen with an N _ Blake, said, "A breathtaking achievement in direction, not all, but a greatest deception. Many plot holes, incoherence." I'm not sure. Your tweet is a little incoherent there, Will and Billy. Mark Dusick, who is at Mark Reviews, our buddy, said, "With so many big ideas at play, the film is bound to stumble from the weight, but it dares to stumble. I admire that about it."
Nice. That's a nice tweet right there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. And I agree. You got to applaud the ambition of this movie. It was spectacular.
Agreed. CE's Mustache, who is the same on Twitter, said, "Was beautiful to look at, had a score about as subtle as a shovel upside the head, but great? Don't think so."
Wow. Interesting. And he picks up on, I thought a couple of times, the score was just over just like you said, a shovel to the side of the head. Great way to put it. It was almost too much, and I love Hans Zimmer.
Yeah. Little Miss Whatever, who is at LMWhatev3R, said, long-winded but intriguing. Some incredible cinematography in places, but not one I'd see again in a hurry.
Hmm.
This is splitting the jaw heads apart
here.
Kurt Brooks, who is at KGB Writes, said, it was like having a physics textbook shoved into my head, but I loved it.
There you go. I agree. You felt like you came out maybe a little bit smarter.
Yeah, my tweet was, Interstellar made me feel just smart enough to realize I'm stupid.
You realize that all the time.
Yeah, I do. Brian Perry, who is at Road to Oscars, said, my fave movie line of the year is in Interstellar. Parents are memories for their children.
Wow. Good line. I'm glad you brought that one up. That was an interesting line and a great way to sort of capture that. You know what I mean?
I think what the line, to be a little more accurate, was parents are future memories for their children. Like, all we are now is future memories for our children.
Yeah.
It's pretty creepy to think about it that way. That was all we got.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jawheads, if we did not get to your tweet and you saw Interstellar, shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. We will retweet it and get the discussion going. Like we said, half the country went and saw Interstellar, and there was a big family movie opening as well, entitled Big Hero 6.
Hello, I am Baymax, your personal healthcare companion.
Baymax, I didn't know you were still active.
I heard a sound of distress. What seems to be the trouble?
Oh, I just stubbed my toe a little. I'm fine.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your pain?
A 0? I'm okay, really. Thanks. You can shrink now.
Does it hurt when I touch it?
That's okay. No touching.
Ow. You have fallen.
You think?
Ow. On a scale of 1...
Ow.
On a scale...
Ah.
On a scale...
No.
On a scale of 1 to 10... on a scale of 1 to 10... How would you rate your pain?
0.
It is all right to cry.
No.
Crying is a natural response to pain.
I'm not crying.
I will scan you for injuries.
Don't scan me.
Scan complete.
Unbelievable.
You have sustained no injuries. However, your hormone and neurotransmitter levels indicate that you are experiencing mood swings, common in adolescents. Diagnosis? Puberty.
Whoa, what?
All right, so as far as Big Hero 6 goes, I have to say that it is probably the best animation, and I'm talking visuals, I'm not talking story or anything other than just the visuals. The animation was so good, I can't think of another animated film that achieved quite as beautiful a picture. This happens in San Francisco, which is obviously an amalgam of San Francisco and Tokyo. Such a beautiful landscape. They have these floating Zeppelin-type fans up in the sky on ropes. You know, they marry the two cities so well with the neon of Tokyo and the hills and the grassiness of San Francisco and the bright blue skies. It was just a pretty picture. The character designs, I thought, were not too overdone. Sometimes they get a little too stylized. They got very stylized, but I don't think they crossed that boundary into super stylized. The way that the team comes together and you see their talents right away was so well done, and I thought the story was good. Hey, is it a little predictable? Yeah, it's a little predictable, but it's a kid's movie, and I had a lot of fun with it, probably just about as much fun as I had just about at Guardians of the Galaxy. Not quite, but it's close, and I would give it a solid 3.5 Jaws. It's the best family movie out of the summer, best animation of the summer.
Now, I saw
even
it also.
Even though the summer's over, okay. It's winter now.
I agree with you on the animation. Beautiful looking. But I have to say that it was the film itself, as you're mentioning, that you could see all the talents of the young kids and how the team was going to come together.
Yeah.
Very, very formulaic. I hated that whole part of it. And I didn't even like Hero, the main kid in the movie. But the entire film, in my opinion, was saved by Baymax, which is inflatable robot that is actually a healthcare robot.
He's like a nurse.
It's hilarious. He makes the entire movie for me. And then I guess Hero and his interaction is pretty fantastic. But I was not a fan of the ending when Hiro dresses up all his friends to fight the evil doctor.
Oh, I love that.
I hated that. I was like, oh my God, this is how they become the Big Hiro 6. That part was a letdown for me. I saw it in 3D. I loved the animation. Some of the 3D sequences, pretty great. Loved Baymax. But for my money, this is about a 2.5 jaw movie.
And you need to learn how to have fun, man. Even Baymax can't heal the fun center in your damaged brain.
One of my favorite parts was when Baymax would say, how much does it hurt? And he would, yeah, it would have that graph up on his chest.
Can you rate your pain on, yeah, a scale of 1 to 10?
Because you know how they do that, yeah, you know? And it's so funny. I was like, oh, man, I forgot all about, you know, saying that to, like, you know, nurses or whatever. It's great.
There's a lot of very, very clear comparisons to other Marvel films like Iron Man and a bunch of others. But one of the best Stan Lee cameos ever. Did you stay after the credits?
No, I did not.
What is wrong with you? What's all the people in the theater got up and left. I was sitting there with my nephew and two nieces, and we're watching this, and I'm like, there's going to be a scene after every Marvel movie has a scene after the trailer. And,
yeah,
and
I
all
don't
the
even
Disney
care
movies.
About them anymore.
After the credits, you got to stay.
All right.
You don't care anymore?
Not with the Marvel movies. Okay. They're already getting confusing.
They had a little Stan Lee cameo before the credits. If you're quick, you know, blink and you'll miss it kind of thing. But Stan Lee comes back for the post-credit scene, and it was cute. He had a little moment with Fred.
Oh, nice.
It was heart-touching.
Should we mention there's a short film that plays before Big Hiro 6 entitled Feast.
Yeah.
And I love that little short. It was with the dog, and he's always getting the leftovers from,
yeah,
the guy, and the guy
all right.
All of a sudden starts dating a girl and, you know, eating more healthy, and the dog hates what he's getting fed. It was pretty good.
It wasn't as good as the paper airplane one.
Oh, I beg to differ. I think it was right
really?
Up there with him. Yeah. They do great work with the short films. I think more feature films, just lighthearted ones, comedies, could benefit from a quick short feature.
I agree. I think it's a fantastic little tradition that,
yeah,
they've started.
I mean, in our theater, I saw it at a screening right before it came out. Everybody applauded after Feast. Like, everybody was so happy after that. And now it put everybody in a good mood to see Big Hiro 6. So.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
All right, so 3.5 jaws for Big Hiro 6 from Matt. 2.5 jaws for Rye the Movie Guy. But I do recommend checking it out if you have kids.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely. Check it out if you have kids.
Mockingjay, part one. It's the beginning of the finale of The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
In honor of that, we are covering our top three favorite movie series finales, and it is tough to go out on a good note, I'm telling you.
It is. I'm going to jump right in.
Go ahead.
All right. Swinging for the fences right out of the gate. Let's do Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. We already talked about this enough, I feel, but... It's a very good finale to a series that had some ups and downs.
It right. And my only complaint about the Harry Potter series as a whole was that the last 2 to 3 films contained so much of the story arc. The first 1, 2, 3 films, yeah, you got to know the characters, but having such a series that big, they could have drew way more from like 1, 2, 3 Harry Potter to have some sort of significance at the end.
Well, I think she sort of switched gears, because at first it seemed like it was just going to be a serial where they have a different adventure each time.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started like bringing plot threads through all the stories. And then she was like, oh, this is an epic.
Right.
You know? So I don't think that was her intention from the start. J.K. Rowling.
But as far as the film goes, I love the battle between Harry, yeah, and Voldemort at the end.
Up there with any movie battle.
All right, swings us over to my number three. And at number three, I go for a film that actually the series as a whole obviously went off the tracks a little bit. But I put it on my list because he retired the character with class and needed to come back. And I think when this one was announced.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, right?
No, I think when this one was announced, we were all like, oh, we all rolled our eyes. I'm speaking of the 2006 film written, directed, and starring Sylvester Stallone, Rocky Balboa. And this is, like I say, the series a little bit went off the tracks. In my opinion, especially, number three was really just a popcorn film. You know, Mr. T's in it. Four is just ridiculous.
I will break you.
He fights the Russian, and all of a sudden, within 5 rounds, the entire country of Russia is cheering for Rocky for some reason. It's just dumb.
I like that one.
Rocky V is terrible. I mean, what an awful movie.
Yeah.
And at that point, it just seemed like the series was dead. And then when he announced that he was going to do a 6th film entitled Rocky Balboa, I think the entire world thought this guy was mad. No one wants to see it. Came out to positive reviews. It was, I think, number one the weekend it opened. And I just love that he got back to the heart of the original character of Rocky. And, you know, he's just going to do this exhibition, and he's just trying to prove himself one more time, you know, that he could still stand with this young champion.
Hadn't Adrian passed?
Well, yeah, she had passed away. And I just love, he went out on a note. He left the ring, the crowd's cheering for him. And it felt like we as a country were retiring this character from cinema history. And it's funny, nowadays we don't even think of how iconic it is, a character, Rocky. It almost seems like it's always been there, you know what I mean? And yeah, that he didn't invent this character, but he did. There was a time when we didn't just jump to a training sequence and think Rocky, no matter what, for the rest of time, people are going to be, oh, well, it's Rocky. You know,
Mike Tyson's punch out would not exist.
Yeah, how about it? So that is my number three, Rocky Balboa. If for some reason, Jawheads, you did not want to see it, it is worth a spin out on DVD.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. My next two both start with the word return. At number two, I have Return of the Jedi. This was the absolute maximum finale that any child who is a fan of the Star Wars series could have hoped for. You get the Wookiees, the Ewoks, excuse me, it was supposed to be Wookiees, and what a great battle, the Battle of Endor, where they're smashing the AT-AT's heads with giant logs and stuff. They think that C-3PO is a god. It's a great movie.
It is. Well, I would actually say, though, when you go back and watch it now, the Ewoks are one of the weaker parts of the movie. They're
bite your tongue.
They're too geared towards the kids. If you were older seeing that movie, you'd be like, it would just be like a moment where you have a problem in Attack of the Clones. You'd be like, oh, that's cheesy. I'm telling you.
I disagree.
But it does have the great confrontation between Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader at the end.
Yeah, and Palpatine.
And that music, that orchestra music that comes on, and that shot of the green lightsaber versus the red. Oh, spectacular.
It's very spectacular. And I'll never forget Palpatine sitting in the chair, and he's like, you want this? Take your weapon. Strike me down with all your anger. I love it.
Yeah, and when he finally irks Luke enough to finally, you know.
Yeah, you use think the in that force. Moment that Luke's bad now.
Yeah, and you could see the anger in him, you know. But yeah, Luke didn't give in.
He didn't. Well, we'll see what happened to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. My number two could be Matt's number one, but he said it had return in the title. Christopher Nolan, The Dark Knight Rises.
Boo.
Now,
boo.
I was not sold on this movie overall, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know why I've gotten in, if anything, more on, in a Batman kick than I have ever been. I went back, I rewatched it. Not nearly as bad as I had thought when I saw it in the theater. And not that I thought it was terrible. I thought it was like more like a two and a half jaw movie. But after I watched it again, I thought, you know, it goes out on a pretty high note. I like Bane as the villain. And I think what we've learned when you're watching these superhero movies, how difficult it is to put together a story arc of three films, and all three of them are as good as the Dark Knight. They're never going to be touched.
Oh, that's never been done.
No, I mean,
the Dark Knight is the greatest superhero movie of all time.
No, but I'm saying the series of Batman, I think, stands head and shoulders, I should say, above all the other superhero films. When you're looking at them as a series, I don't think anything else really touches it.
Well,
Superman,
that's debatable.
Superman 1 and 2 were awesome.
What about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU? Right?
No, you got to pick a series here. Would you
that
say,
is a series?
Would you say Iron Man?
No, I'd say the MCU. Those films,
so they've
all
only had one movie.
They've had like 16.
Yeah, but they're all offshoots. You know what I'm talking about. Pick a series. You don't got to play brain dead here. Pick one series. I'm saying, like, would you
the
say
Avengers.
Iron Man? It's had one movie.
Well, it's going to have more.
Let's have a real
okay,
discussion
a
here.
Movie?
Don't pick a movie that has one
I've
film.
I've tried to. Okay. Well, if you're saying a series that's over.
Or still going, but at least has two, three films in it. Say three at least.
I don't know. Captain America is pretty cool.
Decent.
Yeah, Winter Soldier was, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think any
it's,
of them.
It's probably not better than the Nolan Batman.
I don't think any of the Marvels. When I went back and I just actually rewatched The Dark Knight, I watch it and then I'm like, I don't like all the Marvel stuff anymore. I don't know. Maybe,
well, you're
maybe
a
I'm
DC guy. Yeah.
I guess I am.
Why don't you go rewatch Green Lantern then?
Yeah.
DC guy.
All right, that was my number two, The Dark Knight Rises. I was going to sub one in there that was going to be another return, but I think Matt's going to go with it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm glad you went with Batman. My number one is Return of the King. This movie swept the Oscars. It was Peter Jackson's crowning achievement. He really should have, could have retired after that movie. I won't say should have, but he definitely could have. What an achievement. What an achievement this movie was. He deserved every award that he got. It was the Lord of the Rings, man.
It was. And it was great how he built all these humongous battles, but yet he saved the best, I think, for the last. I mean, he finally brought in the elephants, and he had all, I mean, just spectacular aerial shots of the, you know, the catapults shooting the rocks, and the battle sequences were great, and I loved the ending, actually. It really hit me when they all bowed to the hobbits, the entire, you know, kingdom bows to them in gratitude. And I remember just tear rolling down my cheek. It was very touching.
Yeah. Great movie. How are you going to beat that?
My number one is actually came out in 2004, just been announced that they're going to add to the series, so this won't be the finale, and it's just a humongous mistake by Hollywood. I'm speaking of Matt Damon in The Bourne Supremacy. It was directed by Paul Greengrass, and in my opinion, it's the perfect film series as far as an action series goes. Great story arc, exciting visuals, and ended at the perfect time. And in fact, the ending scene where you hear the newscaster say that they believe that Jason Bourne died in the fall to the river, but his body hasn't been found yet. And then they cue the music. Just perfect. Just leave it just as that. I'm so upset by the news that Matt Damon's going back to make another one. I already didn't like the Jeremy Renner that went on. It's so, here we go again. They never can let a good thing just be a good thing anymore. They just got to milk it for everything it's worth until we're sick of it.
Well, there's going to be a two-part finale for
this. Oh, I'm sure.
It's a whole new trilogy.
By the time that happens, it might be a new fad to do three.
I just want
to
know what they're going to call it.
I know.
The Bourne Stupidity? I mean, what do you, where do you go?
The Bourne Redone?
I guess they
Bourne
can just
again.
Add, yeah, there you go. Bourne Again.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. That was my number one. I did have an honorable mention. You took the Return of the Jedi. I figured you would, so I did not mention it. Also, Indiana Jones, I listed it as The Last Crusade,
yes,
because I don't
yes.
even like to think that the Crystal Skull.
Nobody
and,
does.
And The Last Crusade ended so beautiful when he goes to get the Holy Grail, and his dad grabs him and has to say, Indiana, let it go.
Let it go, Junior. Yeah.
Love it. Jawheads, if we missed your favorite series finale when it comes to movies and you have Twitter pulled up, shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. We will retweet it and get the discussion going. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we have a cinema war. Elias will be judging what is the best Star Wars episode title. Also, Matt versus Elias in Famous Jennifer's movie trivia. We'll be right back on CinemaJaw.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
CinemaJaw is brought to you by PremierBoxBreaks.com. A box break is a service where a breaker will open a box, case, or pack of collectible trading cards for individuals or groups of people during a live feed broadcast so everyone may see and share in the excitement of the event. This type of service is a cheaper way to potentially get high dollar or rare cards without having to buy a whole box or case. Plus, their break list app lets you see exactly what the status of breaks are that you might have bought into. To view live breaks, simply click on the homepage. The feed is embedded about halfway down. Check out more at PremierBoxBreaks.com and by PublicWiFi.com. Public Wi-Fi offers a free device that broadcasts a hotspot that your customers can use for free. With each login, the customer will see your advertisements. Why not have it be your ad that they see? They give you a free device and free ads over the entire PublicWiFi.com network. They also guarantee that your competitor's ad will never be displayed on your hotspot. Contact them today by visiting PublicWiFi.com to learn how you can become a host for PublicWiFi.com.
To get ourselves a treat, let's all go to the lobby. To get ourselves a treat.
And we are back on CinemaJaw. Boy, oh boy, Matt. Been a jam-packed jaw as always. Good discussion on Interstellar. Good discussion on Big Hero 6.
Hey, how about that? We got out and saw some movies.
We did. We did not throw any items into the jaw box.
Because we're so smart.
But he came out a little bit early, and we always got to bring him out at this point anyways. Last week, he came out wearing pajamas. Who knows what the heck this guy's going to have this week? Heck, let's open up that jaw box.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
We got a box!
No, what's in the box?
What's going on, guys? Yes, unfortunately, this week we aren't sponsored by the Pajama Company. .com. Wow, that's a free ad.
Free plug,
right?
Free plug.
Oops.
I'm going to send this to them.
Well, I'm just pandering because I want them to send back that pair.
They made you send it back?
Well, you know what?
Can't you see? He's back in his
loincloth. Repossessed your pajamas.
Yeah. Right. I'm guessing that was just an elaborate ruse by Matt, because all of a sudden I woke up and then he like had them. He's like, sorry, I got to give these back. But, you know.
Oh, hey, man. They said it was a loner, you know?
Oh, man. Anyway. But so, yeah, now I'm just staying warm with my hissing cockroach.
He's going to have some company soon.
Which, yeah, I heard earlier, and I'm appreciative for the second year in a row to have turkey, possibly.
Oh, it's nice. Thanksgiving, you know? Yep.
And so, Matt, ahead of time, I want to thank you for that turkey, because, you know, it's the Thanksgiving season. And right. I also want to thank the listeners for being just so loyal and sticking through us. We're going through a lot of changes right now. If you're a listener and you haven't got a chance to rate and review us on iTunes, please do that. I know our listenership has been growing lately. Go check it out and do that, because we will get bigger through that.
Yeah,
we'll
no,
more
it
exposure.
Helps.
Yeah,
it really helps people find the show.
Yeah, and also check us out on Instagram. We've been taking some awesome photos on there.
Yeah.
What is it? Just at CinemaJaw.
At CinemaJaw, definitely.
You will see some cool shots of Matt and Rye. They did a photo shoot.
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but Polaroids print out instantly. You can't like digitally post those.
You're not allowed.
Well, how are you going to do it? Well, there's no share button on a...
No,
on a
we took photos of the Polaroid photos.
Oh, wow. How meta. Yeah,
it is crazy. But it's a nice thing that Elias got this Polaroid
it is.
Camera.
I'm just
it's actually
you.
Pretty cool. So.
I'm teasing you, Elias. You look so crestfallen.
I thought like maybe we could melt them down and shove it in the USB cord or something. I don't know.
Well, that might work. Let's try it.
Yeah. Figure it out.
All right. Get back in there.
I agree. Get back in that jawbox.
Thanks. Later.
Yep. And it's funny, too, because we're recording in a new area in Mother's. We've nicknamed it the Lipstick Lounge. We're on couches that are in the shapes of lips. And it's quite funny. Matt's actually sitting on a chair that's a high-heel stiletto chair. That's pretty ridiculous.
Well, and hey, listen, if you're going to get a high-heeled stiletto ottoman chair, it better be leopard print.
You look good on it, Matt.
Thanks.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. It brings us to a segment called...
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this, Jawheads. This is where me and Matt battle on a topic each week. And this week, our engineer, Elias Rodriguez, gets to play judge and jury and tell the Jawheads who he thinks won this Cinema War. It's important because we're fighting for 20 seconds of precious Jaw time to rant and rave on whatever we want. There's a new Star Wars title out there, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. I think... Revenge of the Sith is the best. Heck, Elias, tell the Jawheads at home what today's Cinema War topic is.
Today's Cinema War topic, what Star Wars episode has the best title? Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith? Or Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back? Rye, you'll be fighting for Sith. Matt, you'll be fighting for Empire. Let the Cinema War be good.
Matt, I wonder how they came up with the name for Episode 5. George Lucas walked into a writer's room and says, what happens in this film? And some dweeb says, the Empire Strikes Back. And Mr. Fatneck says, that's it. That's it. The Empire Strikes Back. Come on, Matt. There's no creativity there.
Actually, I hope it happened that way, because any idea that's not George Lucas's usually are the best ideas. Rye, The Empire Strikes Back is the best film in the entire Star Wars saga to date. Thanks in no small part to the title. It's cooler. It oozes cool. Revenge of the Sith is a puking of syllables with absolutely no couth.
No way, Matt. The title, Revenge of the Sith, has significance because originally Lucas wanted to call Episode 6 Revenge of the Jedi, even had posters printed of that, but changed it to Return of the Jedi because revenge is not the way a Jedi conducts himself. That said, it was the perfect title for a movie that sees the beginning of Darth Vader.
Rye. What the hell is a Sith, anyway? Only Star Wars nerds know what that is and know that it's not a made-up word. Meanwhile, everyone knows what an empire is and is scared as shit at the thought of one striking back. It just sounds more epic.
No way. Continuing on my last point, Matt, Revenge of the Sith actually helps make Return of the Jedi a better title, as the two films are both the ending piece of a trilogy and both explain where they are in the saga. I love it.
Let's just examine these two phrases and break it down a little bit. We'll rate which one is cooler on the combination of words. Revenge, okay. Nothing needs to be said here. Wasted breath.
Cool. I think it breathes cool.
Sith, made up word. Now, the, just a setup. Empire, capital E, strikes, which means hits or beats, lashes out, back, retaliation. It's a little poem, really.
I don't know how you could pull that out of there. That's just ridiculous, Matt. Because the title Empire Strikes Back is as bad as some of Lucas's corny dialogue. He might as well called it Episode 5, The Empire Gets the Upper Hand. Or, look, Episode 5, look, there's a black guy in my saga. It is too literal to be the best Star Wars title. Revenge of the Sith, Matt, it sounds evil, powerful, and exciting. It is the best title Mr. Fatneck ever came up with.
Ryan, I don't have to use the Force or even know the dark side to know that you wouldn't know a good title if it slashed you with its lightsaber. There are two sets of Star Wars films. One is superior in every way. I think we all know which one that is.
Wow. Button heads here on Cinema War. As always, we throw it over to our engineer, our judge, our jury, Elias Rodriguez. What'd you think of this Cinema War?
Okay, so I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan. So Matt brought up a great point in saying that the average person wouldn't know what a Sith was. And I had no idea what a Sith was or what that title meant at first. I thought it was just some random stuff. Right? I mean, Revenge of the Sith is pretty literal, though, in the context of the movie. That's kind of a weak argument. But I agree, like, it is cooler. And Matt, you kind of lost me at a certain point.
When I was breaking it down.
You kind of lost me at some point, but I'm still going to give it to you anyway.
Yes!
Oh, son of a gun.
Because what the hell is a Sith, after all?
So let me get this right. Elias is working an event for Matt's company tomorrow at Mother's, and all of a sudden you get the Cinema War win.
See
Bucks,
how that works?
Bucks!
See how that works?
That earns you 20 seconds of jaw time to rant and rave on whatever you want. Hit it, Matthew.
I just want to say, can anybody out there be more excited for the new Star Wars movie? Because I already bought my lightsaber on Amazon. I'm serious. I got one of the ones that don't telescope. It's got the LEDs in it. $150.
This is what you waste your money on?
Yeah. I'm gonna be having a lightsaber battle. I bought it myself, gentlemen, and I'm ready. I am flying to Connecticut to see it with my friends that I grew up with. I'm taking Parker. We're going to camp out overnight. And I invite anybody in Connecticut who listens to Cinema Jaw to join me. I will be tweeting where I'm at.
That's all nice. Well,
I'm
going to
be talking
done.
About this for the next 360-something days.
Let me just make two quick points. One, what an absolute waste of 20 seconds of jaw time. And two, what an absolute waste of $150. Oh. A lightsaber? Come on, Matt. What are you, 10?
At heart, I am.
Oh, wow. All right. Can't wait to get a look at that lightsaber.
It's green, by the way, for those of you who were wondering.
Nobody was
That's
wondering.
That's like boxers or briefs. Colors your lightsaber, man.
Nobody was wondering.
They were wondering.
They weren't. Matt, it brings us to trivia. And trivia this week is sponsored by
Spectrum Safety Training.
Tell me more.
Spectrum provides occupational safety and health training, like food safety training for restaurant managers and food handlers, and OSHA workplace safety training as well. Prepare and prevent, Rye. Don't repair and repent. Call today to register in their next available classes, 847-780-8944, or visit SpectrumSafetyTraining.com for more info. And we thank them for their support.
Elias versus Matt this week, and as we mentioned, Mockingjay Part 1 of The Hunger Games is coming out. It stars Jennifer Lawrence, and there are a lot of famous actresses named Jennifer. So we are playing Jennifer movie trivia. Think jawheads at home listening to this of all the famous Jennifers, because you know Matt's going to be striking out left and right here.
I don't know. I know my Jennifers.
Elias, you're our guest and our engineer this week. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals, and if you get hung up on one, you get one rescue. Rescue me, Ryan. Help you out with any question you have.
I will go first because I've noticed that the second questions have been extremely hard lately.
Maybe that's a trend. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see.
He mixes up the order. He gives the guest
we'll find out.
The easy one.
We will find out.
Question number one over to Elias. Chicago-born Jennifer Hudson won a Best Supporting Actress Academy Award for what film?
I am drawn up. This is going to be another one of those where Matt and I struggle.
Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
They do start off easy.
Uh-oh. Dreamers? Is that what it is? No. That's all I got.
Gotta buzz him. Gotta buzz him. Matt, you got a chance for a steal.
Dream Girls?
Damn. I said I just have a weird accent.
Wow. Wow. It is 1-0, Matt K. Question number 2 over to Matt. Matt, Jennifer Love Hewitt starred as Amanda Beckett in this 1998 high school movie that takes place on graduation night.
Carrie. I was joking. I don't know.
Wow.
Wow. Chance for a steal, Elias. Right.
Can't hardly wait. Wow.
Yeah, he knows all his 90s chick flicks.
Hey, he ties it back up. We have steals on the two easy questions. I love it. 1-1. Question number 3 over to Elias. Elias, what famous Jennifer starred in the following? Requiem for a Dream, Blood Diamond, and Dark City.
Oh, man. Randomly, it just popped in my head. Jennifer Lopez is a joke, but it is Jennifer O'Connell. Oh, man, it's right there. Oh, boy, Matt's going to know it. Jennifer Connelly?
Damn it.
Nailed it. That was
awesome.
I think
you should have buzzed him on the O'Connor thing.
No. He's our engineer. You got to give him a second. It is 2-1, Elias. Everybody perfect. Question number 4. Shouldn't say everybody perfect, but at least every question's been answered. Question number 4 over to Matt. Matt, which famous Jennifer starred in The Wedding Planner, U-Turn, and Anaconda?
Jenny on the Block herself, J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez.
Knew it was coming.
Still 2-2. Good game here. Good game. Question number 5 over to Elias. What was the name of the 2010 film that starred Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler that saw Butler have his ex-wife, played by Aniston, as his next target? You do have a rescue if we need
it. If I did know my chick flicks, man, you would be toast on this one.
Is this a chick flick? It sounds like there's some action there.
Oh, yeah, well.
Jennifer Aniston, Gerard Butler movie came out in 2010.
What question number is this?
This is already number 5.
Oh, jeez.
Tied 2-2.
I will go for the rescue.
Rescue me, Ryan, on question number 5. Ryan, what was the name of that 2010 film? And your clue is...
I like how you talk to yourself there. It was good.
Your clue is, Elias, Boba Fett was one.
The Bounty Hunter?
Wow.
I would have said a clone. He was, by the way.
Good clue, wouldn't you say? Yeah, I don't even get a thank you from the guy.
It would have thrown
thank
me
you.
All right, that's good. All right, it is 3-2, Elias. Question number 6 over to Matt. Got to stay with him here, Matt. Jennifer Jason Leigh has played Tom Hanks' wife in one movie. It came out in 2002. Name it.
I think I know, but I'll go ahead and take a trip to the Rescue Me Ryan.
Oh, wow. Back-to-back rescues. Question number 6. Ryan, what was the name of that 2002 Tom Hanks, Jennifer Jason Leigh movie? And your clue is... Paul Newman was also in this movie.
Paul Newman was also in this movie.
Paul Newman, Tom Hanks, Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Castaway?
Wow.
That was going to be my guess.
Wow. Jeez. No, Paul Newman was not in Castaway.
Yeah, and maybe it was a cameo.
His wife in Castaway was
Laura Linney.
Helen Hunt. Yeah. And it wasn't even his wife. I think they were engaged. All right. But it was Jennifer Jason Leigh, Paul Newman. It's a big clue. And Tom Hanks. Came out in 2002.
I just don't. I can't think about these other actors right now. I'm just going to throw Terminal out there, but I'm pretty sure that's not it.
I think that was George Clooney in Terminal.
No, that was Tom Hanks also.
Tom Hanks, okay.
We were looking for Road to Perdition. Road to Perdition. Wow. Elias is still up 3-2. Question number 7 is over to him. He gets this correct, it's all over. Elias, which Jennifer played a high-end call girl named Cheryl Ann in the 2002 movie Catch Me If You Can?
Oh, man.
It was a small role. movie starred Leonardo DiCaprio, also Tom Hanks. Which Jennifer played Cheryl Ann, a high-end call girl?
I'm going to go with Jenny from the Block. Wrong, I know.
Incorrect. Matt, you can tie it up here. Question number 7. Catch me if you can. DiCaprio, Hanks, and this Jennifer played a high-end call girl in one scene.
She was really young. Hell, man. Was it Jennifer Lawrence? I don't even know.
Looking for Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner. Yeah. Was young at the time. Was still not much of a movie star. I think she was already in Alias, but, you know, young in her career for sure. All right. He left the door open because question number 8 is over to Matt. It is still 3-2, Elias. You can tie him up right here, Matt.
All right. I'm going to do
Last question of the game.
Jennifer Grey.
Matt, name the Jennifer that was in Liar Liar, Bullets Over Broadway, and Bound. Shouldn't have used that rescue so damn early.
No, I think I know. Jennifer Tilly?
How the hell does Matt get Jennifer Tilly?
She was in the Chucky movies. That's how I... She's pretty cool.
Well done,
Matt. She's also a professional poker player.
That is awesome. It is tied 3-3. It comes down to a jawbreaker. This one goes to Elias. Elias, who would you rather get naked photos texted to you by, Jennifer Lawrence or Jennifer Connelly?
Jeez. Well, I hope the cockroach isn't listening. Yeah, and my girlfriend, Kate. I will go with the former.
Connelly?
I didn't say that.
Wow. We'll give that to him. Oh, well done, Elias. Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's correct.
Here's the real jawbreaker. It is the age of Jenny on the Block, Jennifer Lopez, closest to. Matt, you got a guess?
I think she's a little older than me, man. I would say she's 39.
I'm writing that down, locking him in at 39. All right, Elias, you got a guess? This is for all the marbles here. They are tied 3-3. Jennifer Lopez, how old is she?
I'm going to have to do The Price is Right.
$1, Bob.
40.
Wow. We give that one to Elias.
Whoa. 42, right?
45 years old.
Get out of town.
I couldn't believe it either when I wrote it down. Born in 1969.
Wow.
I was definitely going to go 40s, but then when you said that, it kind of scared me, so that's why I went low.
Went a little lower.
So, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable.
She still looks great.
Yeah.
She's a good-looking gal.
Yep.
Well done, Elias. Handshake.
Handshake, wow.
Once again, Matt's only won one against me. I've won, like, 7.
That was
amazing.
That was hard fought, though.
It is. Always fun when Matt takes Elias on in movie trivia.
Yeah, my record is pretty subpar.
Well, you won the father one, when your son Quinn was born.
That's right.
So that was a great time to win.
I'll take that to my grave. Can't take it away from me.
It goes quick when we're having a good time, John, about movies. But we're at the end of a great podcast here.
No, it's weird, right? We're going to go give away some movie stuff.
We are.
In the front bar.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Did you like I'm wearing my Interstellar hat that we got sent?
That
pretty
is
sharp,
cool.
Huh?
It is.
Yeah. The Endurance.
The Endurance. Now I know what it means. And I want one now.
Sweet. We also have to thank the best engineer in the biz, Elias Rodriguez.
Thank you, guys. It's a blast. And we're in a new spot in Mothers. Let's just mention that. We used to record.
Lipstick Lounge.
Yes, the Lipstick Lounge. And next week, we will bounce to another spot. So we're trying spots out because they renovated. And, yeah, so excuse the audio differences.
Yeah, hopefully it'll sound a little better because we're a little further away from everything.
Yeah.
Let us know, Jawheads. Help us out. Tell us if it sounds good.
Yeah.
And also, Jawheads, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on Jawing About the Movies.